This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's hour two of the show. One of the great things about this summer, yes, I realize Saints training camp is here, so the doldrums of the summer here locally for sports fans kind of over, but there hasn't really been any of those doldrums because of what the Pelicans have done. Since David Griffin arrived, they've been the talk of not only the city and the region, but kind of the talk of the country in the NBA. It's been great to cover them here. They've got fairly, relatively high expectations, I think, heading into the fall. I still think playoff expectations. Anybody who think this is assuredly a playoff team might be a little off base. You got to look at the depth in the Western Conference, but it is going to be a very exciting and intriguing season to watch. I mean, this team is 15 guys deep right now, which is just silly to think about. They might not have the top flight talent that a Lakers team does or a Clippers team does or the Warriors in the West, but they're as deep as any team in the league. And that's not something you could have ever said during the Dell Demps era or the Anthony Davis era. The transformation has been pretty incredible. We're going to talk a little Pelicans here and bring on in Andrew Lopez, NBA writer who covers the Pelicans. He's on Twitter at _Andrew_Lopez. Andrew, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's kind of funny. I didn't realize that Saints training camp was so close upon us just because people have still talked about the Pel so long. I kind of forgot until you're saying it like just now. I could hear you in my head. I'm like, oh, that's next week. Oh, like, where are you at the end of July? Like,
yeah.
I totally didn't realize that.
I will tell you this. It has been a blessing for me sitting in this seat, Andrew, because sometimes sports talk in July and late June can get pretty darn dry. But it wasn't with the Pelicans who made this run in the summer league. And I think we were all captivated because when Zion went down in that first game, we're thinking, oh, boy, here we go. This is going to be pretty ugly. And it turned out not to be. We had, you know, Nikhil Alexander Walker stepping up. We saw a good play from Jackson Hayes. What'd you think of this group in the summer?
Yeah, I mean, those two excelled, and obviously Nikhil Alexander-Walker makes it to the All-Summer League first team. Jackson Hayes was voted onto the second team by the media who's covering out there. And then maybe your third-best player, Didi Luzada, who showed flashes of what he can do, knocked down some threes. He made a game-winning steal at one point. He's not even going to play on this team this year. Like, it's kind of crazy for me to think about because he's not even going to be on the team. He's going to play in Australia next year as a part of that Rising Stars program that they have. You know, same program that LaMelo Ball is going to be in, Lonzo's little brother. So to me, it was kind of eye-opening, and it just kind of shows you last year's second-round pick, Tony Carr, was finding trouble getting playing time on this team. Like, it was – it's just the talent across the board has kind of so much maybe jumped up below another level. I mean, if at the end of the season, I would have bet any amount of money that Christian Wood was going to be on this team come October, and he's already waived and been claimed by another team. So it just kind of to show you with how much talent has been developed by David Griffin and acquired by David Griffin in just a short time.
It also shows, I think, Andrew, at least to me, that they're really confident with Derek Favors, Zion Williamson, Jahlil Okafor handling the front court, considering they got rid of Chick Diallo and they got rid of, like you just said, Christian Wood. It seems like they're pretty comfortable with those guys in the front court.
Yeah, you're probably going with Ja and Derek Favors as your two centers, Zion and Nikola Melli as your two power forwards. And then a lot of your depth is built on the three guard spots. So, you know, however you look at the small forward spot, but all of your depth is there. Yeah, Brandon Ingram can probably play the four a little bit in some small lineups. But overall, I mean, that group is really, you know, he put his stamp on this very quickly. It helped that you had an Anthony Davis trade to kind of move a lot of pieces, but he quickly put his stamp on this Pelicans team.
You know, I'm curious to watch now is how they cut the fat on this roster. And like I said in the open this hour, you know, 15, they're actually about 16, 17 deep now. I would assume, Andrew, that guys like Zion Cheatham and are going to be cut and maybe a I don't know, maybe a Kenrich Williams might be gone too. How do they cut this fat and get down to that 15?
You're at 15 now. Cheatham and some of these other guys they brought in are still on two-way deals. But the beauty of what you have right now is you have a G League team. You have a team that you can send guys to, and you can sell out that roster. Cavell Bigby-Williams, you know, he was close to agreeing to an Exhibit 10 contract, which means he'll go into camp, but if they cut him, he gets a bonus if he goes to Erie. A lot of what they're doing right now is planning, I think, for that team. And then, you know, you look at a guy like Etuan Moore. You look at a guy like the contract that they signed Darius Miller to. $7 million in that neighborhood for a year for Darius Miller seems very high. Until you realize maybe you combined Etuan and Darius and maybe send them out for somebody, you could take back $14, $15 million in salary. I think once you get into the season, you see how things are going. If you're in the playoff race, you know, you can make moves to boost your roster. If you're out of the playoff race early, if those young guys don't develop the way you want, maybe, you know, it's going to be a slower year, maybe at the trade deadline, you send Etuan off to a contender, you send Darius off to a contender, and you can take back a big contract or pick. So you can do a lot of different things with the way this roster is constructed, both in the terms of how guys are going to play, guys can play multiple positions all over the place, and with, you know, probably the back end of that roster maybe changing come the trade deadline.
An NBA writer covering the Pelicans, Andrew Lopez, joining us. And Lopes, the small forward spot is going to be an interesting one to see who starts in this five. And everybody's assuming it's Brandon Ingram. But can we really believe with confidence he's going to be healthy? It sounds like he hasn't even shot a basketball in three, 4 months right now.
Yeah, I still think everything reads as if he's going to be fine. I mean, even if he, let's say, he starts shooting in 2 weeks, he's still going to be, that's still, you know, almost 2 months, you know, six, seven, 8 weeks before training camp starts. He'll be fine. But you do have a real question. I think Lonzo and Drew are kind of slotted in as starters at the two guard spots. You'd figure Zion is slated to start at the four. Derek Favors slated to start at the five. And that three spot is kind of up in the air. Do you put J.J. Redick there? Do you put Brandon Ingram there? I think, personally, I'd go Brandon Ingram. But if you were to make the argument that you start J.J. Redick and you bring Brandon Ingram off the bench as like a super sub who's still going to play 30, 32 minutes a game, I'm not going to argue with you. He can be the playmaker on that second unit. He can kind of be your Lou Williams, where he's still going to get, you know, 20, 22 points a game. But the fact that Alvin Gentry has to make those decisions right now, I think he's going to like having to make those decisions compared to where he was, you know, making roster decisions at the end of last year.
Oh, man, no doubt. It's a good problem to have. And we know Alvin Gentry is one of the architects of that Golden State offense, and they're known to kind of have, I guess, led the generational shift to small ball in the NBA. So it doesn't make sense for J.J. Redick to then go that small to have a 6'5 guy who's really a perimeter threat, and that's about it, playing the three. Is that something we could see a lot of this year?
I mean, I think it's something you've already seen a lot of, because it's basically what they did last year with Etuan Moore. I mean, Etuan Moore at 6'4", he's even really smaller than J.J. He played a lot of the three last year, and it depended on where you were kind of shifting your lineups. You know, you were rolling out lineups with Elfrid, Drew, and Etuan. All three of those guys are 6'4". And I think what you can do this year is you have a little bit of an extra boost. Lonzo, 6'6". Can really guard 1, 2, 3. So maybe if you put that lineup out there, you can put JJ on the softest of the, or the guy you're not afraid of those three guards, the least one you're afraid of at the 1, 2, 3 spot. Lonzo could defend up. Drew can defend up. We've seen that obviously year after year. So I don't think the size will be the issue, but if you're looking for spacing early on, I think that's what JJ helps.
Well, you mentioned Lonzo there. It's interesting. And I'm sure you've heard this just as much as I have. The Pelicans fans coming out of the woodwork to say, oh, man, I don't like Lonzo here. His dad is going to be a distraction. Seems like he's actually going to fit into this offense pretty well. Do you think that, Andrew? Do you think that he's kind of a natural fit for what Alvin Gentry wants to do in the system?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to somebody earlier today about it, and he's going to fit into the offense the way Elfrid Payton fit into the offense, in the sense of he's going to be the guy to distribute. He's going to be the guy to get to the basket, make the elite, you know, the passing move he needs to make. He is an elite passer. That is one skill you can't take away from him. He's an elite rebounder. for a guard. So he's going to bring a lot of what Elford brought and then even ramp it up more on the defensive end. I mean, I really think that between Elford and I'm sorry, between Drew and Lonzo, you really can have one of, if not the top defensive backcourt in the NBA next year.
Andrew Lopez joining us. Andrew, the other, and I'm using air quotes here, the other guy in this trade, Josh Hart, kind of endeared himself to the fan base with his embracing of New Orleans. We saw reports, I think yesterday or the day before, that there were multiple teams that were trying to trade for Josh Hart at draft time, teams that were drafting in the 20s, and David Griffin and company said, no, we like him that much, we're going to keep him along. Is that right?
Yeah, and Joel Myers, I think, said that on his SiriusXM, obviously the play-by-play guy for the Pelicans, but you know, in the press conference itself, Griff told this story about how, you know, Josh Hart called them and said, look, I know you could probably get a lot for me. And if we're being real, I think getting a first-round pick for Josh Hart would be a big coup if you could get, if you could have got that for him in the draft, even in the 20s. But, you know, Josh Hart told David Griffin, please don't trade me. I want to be in New Orleans. I want to be a part of what this is, what you are building, what you are going to do here. So for him to say that, I mean, he's, I think if you had a bingo card of things a player needed to do in New Orleans to be loved by the fans, I think Josh Hart might have blackout right now. Like, he's done literally everything possible. And then he, like, doubles down on it today where he comes out and says, you know, I'm a Redskins fan, but I got to get in the dome and hear the dome. And like, come on, man. As soon as you mention the dome and the noise, it just takes it to another level of trying to endear yourself to all these fans.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Love me some Josh Hart. Final one, Andrew. And I know we're way away here, but everybody wants to know expectations for this team this fall and on into next year. Can they be a playoff team? Where do you see them slotting in the Western Conference?
Can they? Yes. I do think they can be a playoff team. Will they? That remains to be seen. It's still the Western Conference. It's still stacked as much as it can be. So it's going to be tough. I do think they're going to be in the race for the eighth seed. But unlike the past few years, if they don't make it, it's not a failed season. You have a lot of moving pieces. You have a lot of young guys. You have a lot of guys trying to prove that they can be better off of injury. So for me, I think if you're just competing, you know, say you go 39-43, you miss the playoffs by, you know, six games or something. You get the 11th pick in the lottery, and then you're going to be even better, and you're going to set yourself up for next year. That's the blueprint that Oklahoma City followed originally. They had to lose first, then they were able to take, you know, Harden, KD, and Westbrook, and make it to the conference finals, make it to the NBA finals. That's the blueprint you want to follow. You have to be – you can't just go jump to 50 wins. If they do it, great, fantastic. I don't know if that happens, but I think you have to plan on it not being, you know, they're going to be a top four seed. They're going to fight for a playoff spot. They may not make it, but it's still going to be a positive step if they can take get into that spot this year.
And this is going to be a fun season to pay attention to no matter what happens. Andrew Lopez, NBA writer covering the Pelicans. Be sure you follow him on Twitter at @_Andrew_Lopez. Lopes, always appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
No problem, man.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines for you. Pelicans expectations. You heard Andrew say it there. Playoff fringe, anything more than that, you're probably setting your expectation bar a little too high. You tell me. And also, which players are you most excited for? How would you set up this lineup for the Pelicans this season? Because good problem to have for Alvin Gentry and company. But, yeah, they're loaded very deep on this roster. Phone line and phone number is 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Our text line is 870-870. I'm Seth Dunlap. Logan's behind the glass. It's the last lap here on WWL. Yeah, Pelicans expectations. You think they're a playoff team? You think they're a fringe playoff team? I know it's fun to talk about here in July. It doesn't really matter that much. You can give us a call or you can text us. Here's a text from the 504. Getting pumped about Pelican season. AD will regret it. And also eats his pancakes upside down. Eats his pancakes upside down. I like that. So do I guess. Everybody does. How do you know if they're right side up or upside down? I get your point there. A Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, WWL.com. Saints rookies reported for training camp today. Which rookie are you most excited to watch? Eric McCoy, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Caden Ellis, Saquon Hampton, Alize Mack, or somebody else. I said on our Facebook video, either Chauncey Gardner-Johnson or Alize Mack. Alize Mack, because they haven't had a tight end drafted that was really effective, but only 5% are agreeing with me there. With Alize Mack, 50% saying Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, so you are agreeing with me there. Let's throw it to the phone lines and bring in somebody we haven't heard from in quite a while. Down under in Australia, leader of the Hoodad Army there, Tony in Australia. What's up, Tony? How are you?
How you going, sir?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Good. I saw your thing on the Facebook. And for me, Mack, because, like you said, we haven't had a reasonable tight end for a while. Thomas is good, but and Thomas is a receiver. But as far as Mack's concerned, I hope he blocks a bit better than Jimmy, because Jimmy sort of tended not to block too good.
Yeah, and he's big. He has that frame, Tony, that can block, and I think it's one of the reasons they liked him. And for anybody who doesn't know, he's one of the top prospects of the tight end position going into Notre Dame. Never really flourished and flowered at Notre Dame, but the Saints think that he's a project that could work. I'm with you, Tony. Somebody I said on the Facebook video that you watched, Alize Mack, no doubt about it. You excited for this training camp? Season's here, man, a month away, a month and a couple of weeks away from the season opener.
Yeah, well, I can't listen, but so I'd have to go to the page, the homepage, WWL, and see the different comments the guys make and the videos that they make on what happened on that particular day. Trip's all paid for, so it's all full speed ahead.
There you go, full speed ahead. Tony, we will see you in the fall, bud, all right?
Yeah, 4th of December, I lobbed there.
Yep, we've got it down. I know I wrote that down, too, and I know that Steve Court and everybody did, too. We're really looking forward to seeing you. Tony in Australia, thanks for listening. We're going to take a quick 60-second break for CBS News. When we come back, Scott Alexander is going to join us. We're going to talk the gamut, Saints, LSU, and Pelicans. That's a good text coming in. Most of you excited for the Pelicans season. Here's a text from the 985. Excited, yes. Playoffs, no. That's a pretty common theme, and I think that's expectations are good. I don't think you should expect this team to make the playoffs. They should fight to make the playoffs. I think they'll be right on that fringe, and you never know. I have seen some people nationally, I think Brian Windhorst was saying, this is a team that you can expect to make the playoffs, maybe even a top six, top four seed. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that far at all. I'd love to see it happen. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to you in just a second, but let's bring on in my buddy Scott Alexander, who's going to host the show with us tomorrow on Sports Talk. He'll be hosting early. Christian's off on vacation, 4 to 8 p.m. He's the host of Primetime Sports on WLAE and CST TV, and he's also on Twitter at @DScottAlexander. Scott, what's going on, dude?
Seth Dunlap, how are you, my friend?
I am great. I was just telling my audience and our guests that I am very excited to be back, man. This is a great time to talk sports here. I was away for a couple of weeks on vacation. I missed it.
Man, you know what? This is usually like the dead period before the Saints training camp. Everybody in the media kind of takes their vacation around this time, but free agency saved us from all that. And everything that the momentum that was building up pre-draft with obviously the lottery, and then you get the actual draft and the trades during the draft, and then you put the cherry on top with this free agency, and you kind of have a feeling, maybe they aren't done. Who knows? I remember last time I was on with you, the day before the free agency started, the first thing I said was, expect the unexpected. Like, we know what we know we need. We need shooters and we need, rim protectors, and we talked about that. And they got that. They got that with J.J. Redick. They got it with Derek Favors. But I don't think any of us really thought that they would get one of the best three-point shooters in NBA history. And then, oh, by the way, a guy that was the third overall pick of the draft just about 7, 8 years ago, 9 years, whatever it may be, and a guy that's waiting to blossom. And I think he's going to do it. So Favors and Redick, along with what they've done in the draft, and some pieces here and there in the trades. I like what's going on this season. I'm looking forward to it because you not only have a young team that you're building around Zion, but you're going to be competitive and you don't have those long-term deals either.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm certainly not a pessimist. I'm on the optimistic side of that I guess, timeline. And I'm also, though, a little bit of a realist, but I kind of let myself at least imagine a reality here where Brandon Ingram comes back and he's the star in waiting, 20-plus points a game. J.J. Redick hasn't aged much. And this team, well, they click on all cylinders, and all of a sudden, they really are what Brian Windhorst and others, some others think. Hey, they're one of the better teams in the Western Conference. Could that actually happen, Scott, in some weird, you know, reality where everything goes right?
Well, you're getting some pieces and mixes and combinations that I really like. I mean, it is a best-case scenario if they can somehow get in that 6-5 range. Let's be honest. I mean, I cannot see any situation where they could go top four. And when you got – with the way Utah improved so much, you know, Portland did so well last year – this year in the playoffs compared to last year. You know, those teams that just doubled up their fun with, you know, the combinations that they did with the Clippers, the Lakers, now the Rockets. There's so many teams that obviously have more talent and they have more playoff experienced players that you can't see this young team doing that. But what I think is kind of fascinating is that we're going to finally see a Drew Holiday that the sky is the limit, you know, because let me say this. I love the fact that somebody, you know, Griffin threw out the MVP thing and we all said, man, that is so ludicrous. But in reality, this dude could have that kind of season. An MVP is just another level. Let's just say an MVP-type season. He's a dude that legitimately could average 25, 26 points. He legitimately could get 7, 8, 9 assists and legitimately get 6, 7 boards. That's how good Drew Holiday can be. And when you put that up and then all of a sudden the Pels have just some incredible season that people didn't expect, I'm not saying, you know, 1, 2, or 3 seed, but just something. He could be in the conversation because he is going to be tasked to be the leader of this group of players. And I like the youth that they're surrounding him with too. I think those Lakers people, they're growing on me. The Lonzo thing, I really like what's happening right here. I really, truly do.
Yeah, you're getting me excited. Talking to Scott Alexander, of course, big LSU fan, Scott, and LSU fans really excited for this season. And I opened the show talking about expectations for Joe Burrow. I like Joe Burrow. Just to our audience, anybody who didn't say, I really do like Joe Burrow. I think he's going to be fine. I also think LSU is going to be an SEC and national title contender this year. They're that talented everywhere. But let me ask you this, Scott. Are you buying all of the talk, and we're hearing a lot of it now locally from fans, media, some even whispers inside the program that, hey, this could be an elite quarterback this year, maybe a sneaky Heisman Trophy contender. I'm not buying it, but are you?
No, I'm not, and that doesn't mean I don't love Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is feisty, he's a competitor, and he's a winner. He's a gamer. I love those kind of guys, and I don't equate that with being, you know, Heisman Trophy candidate. I mean, you're talking Trevor Lawrence, you're talking Tua, you're talking all these other just huge weapons. But what I also don't like is when expectations get this high. Because I'm gonna go last year because I was on your show and very publicly went nuts when people were throwing the 7 games. Can they get to 7 games? I'm like, are you kidding me? If they had a field goal kicker the year before, they would have 10 wins, no problem, 10-2, 11-1 more likely. And I'm like, they're definitely going to get 8, 9, 10 wins. And there's no doubt in my mind. And I hate this way. I'm going the opposite. I just don't want us to have like, oh, my gosh, if we don't go 11-1, it's not a good season. Because this team could easily go, you know, 9-3 and just have a couple bad breaks and be just as good. The thing here is, that schedule last year was so daunting. And if they can knock off Texas, and that's a big if in Austin, but I truly believe LSU has the better team. I've been on a lot of Texas games. And if you take away their bowl game against Georgia, nobody's predicting them. You got Georgia. They got Georgia at a time that Georgia felt they should have been in the national championship game. They were right for the picking. So I take that game out, and LSU's going to have a big advantage in this. I truly believe that. Although playing in Austin won't be easy because their high hopes are high as well. But the fact is, I think just roll with this season. I think Alabama's vulnerable. I'm not going to make any predictions that LSU can beat them or will beat them, but I'm just saying it is more wide open right now, if that can be possible, than it's been in a while. I think Georgia's right there with Alabama. LSU talent-wise isn't. Joe Burrow would be the main key to that.
Scott Alexander, at @DScottAlexander on Twitter. And Scott, let me ask you this as we wrap up our LSU part of the conversation. Is there a timeline, and you have your finger on the pulse of the LSU fan base and think better than I do, is there a timeline that the fans and the boosters are giving O, Coach O, to close the gap and really surpass Alabama? Have they resigned themselves to, hey, that's never going to happen when Saban's there? Or is it, hey, this has got to happen sometime. That's why we hired you.
Of course, there's going to be a mixture in the fan base on that. Let me be a realist here. This is not like you're talking about the best coach, you know, in the country right now. You're talking about the best coach in the history of the game. He took a very poor LSU team from the decade of the 90s with maybe one or two decent seasons in that entire decade and made them a national champion in four seasons. All right. This is a guy that can do this, and we've never seen anything like it. Not even Bear Bryant could do this much this quick. So to compare Coach O to Alabama and Coach Saban is just not fair. I'm sorry. I don't care what kind of LSU fan you are. Get in reality. The fact is I think Coach O doesn't get enough credit for how well he's played Alabama. And I know nobody wants to, you know, talk about moral victories. But for the most part, except for that game this season, they have been right there with Alabama. And I give them a lot of credit, including that game that was 0-0 with like 12 minutes left in the game just two seasons ago. Fact is, I think this team has done well against Bama. I think Coach O has way surpassed expectations. And I was on the hire when they got him. And now other people are coming on the bandwagon. I know guys like you liked it, other people did, but there's a lot of negativity about the hire. I think it's a great hire, and I think that he is closing the gap somewhat. The gap was very wide. Ask Les Miles. He'll tell you the same thing. It got wide. But right now, I think you got to worry about just doing your job, getting the rest of those wins, and then let the chips fall what they may with Alabama, because you're not just comparing the best coach of this year. You're comparing him against the best coach of all time. That's just not fair.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Saints, they opened training camp today, at least for the rookies. And speaking of sky-high expectations, Scott, they're there for the Saints. A lot of people think it's Super Bowl or bust. I'm actually almost there considering what's happened for the Saints the last couple of years, and it might be Drew's last season. What are you most watching for as training camp starts here? Any players, any positions that you've got your eye on?
Well, I want to see exactly how they use Cook, the tight end, Jared Cook, because here's the thing. You know, Jimmy Graham was so effective. He's not Jimmy Graham, okay? That's not that. But Drew Brees is not Drew Brees either. Drew Brees is still amazing. But that bullet pass 30 yards over the middle does not come with the same velocity. I'm just curious about how the offense will spread him around. And the beauty about that is now you have a true weapon at tight end to go along with Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, because in the NFL, having two superstar breakout players like that, you almost have to have something like that. But to have a third player that can take the pressure a little bit off of them and maybe have a linebacker sway to when this guy goes out as opposed to just double and triple teaming the other two guys I just mentioned, it's going to mean a lot. And you're going to have a healthy receiving core because, I mean, listen, we have good receivers here, but not a lot of them have proved themselves. And Ted Ginn's getting up there in age, but if Ted can stay healthy, he spreads the field still. Even at his age, he's still one of the fastest guys out there, and that's going to be key. So I'm just looking for how that offense gels, and I want to see how these safeties perform in year three and four. I mean, this is a big year for Marcus Williams, Von Bell, and I'm just curious how they incorporate, you know, the veteran as well. So it's going to be fun to watch.
He's Scott Alexander, and he will be co-hosting Sports Talk with me tomorrow, 4 to 8 p.m., right here on WWL. Scott, I can't wait for that, man. We'll see you in studio tomorrow.
It's going to be a ton of fun, Seth. 4 to 8. I look forward to it.
All right. There he goes. Follow him on Twitter, at @DScottAlexander, and a host of Primetime Sports on CST and WLAE TV, and, of course, the COO of NOLA Gold Rugby. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about the British Open, the Open. Boy, bad days for Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods, and an unexpected guy at the top of the leaderboard. We'll hear from those two gentlemen and talk a little Open when we come back here on The Last Lap. Oh, yeah, it's a hard knock life for a lot of those golfers over in North Ireland. The Open, the British Open at Portrush, and it did not go well for Rory McIlroy or Tiger Woods. McIlroy, after one round at +8, he's tied for 150th. Tiger Woods, not much better, +7, tied for 144th overall. They're going to be fighting just to make the cut into the weekend. This was supposed to be Roy's tournament. Remember, he entered as the favorite. This is his home country. This is his home turf, almost his home course, that he struggled so badly. It was very surprising. J.B. Holmes is your leader at 5-under. Shane Lowry at 4-under is second. You have a slew of players at 3-under tied for third place. Let's hear from Rory McIlroy. Again, Rory, things didn't go well today. I like Rory and him just taking ownership that, you know, he's played this course before. It's gone well. Today it didn't. He sounded like a guy who not resigned to the fact that this isn't going to be his tournament, this isn't going to be his year, but at least his chin's up. He's got at least one more round to play to try to get somehow at least on the fringes of contention. Tiger Woods, like these tournaments, these majors oftentimes have not gone well for him outside of Augusta, the Masters. Here's Tiger. Nah, he wasn't one of them. So we'll watch this on into the weekend. We'll cover it more tomorrow on Sports Talk. And round two tees off in about 2.5 hours or so over across the pond. So we'll have the update for you here in just a little bit. Tomorrow on Sports Talk with us, here's what we're going to be talking about. 4 to 8, it'll be myself and Scott Alexander, rookies reported for training camp. Most overhyped storylines for the black and gold and the NFL this offseason. What are they? There are a bunch of them. We're going to go over them. And are Pelicans' expectations too high for this season? Are they too high? We'll talk about that. That's tomorrow, 4 to 8 p.m. on WWL. Phone lines open for you, 504-260-1870. Give me a buzz. That's area code 504-260-1870. Our text line is 870-870. Back in a flash on the last lap. Not a good day for Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy at all. And Tiger, you expect that now, I suppose, because late in his career, he's really struggled in championships, especially the Open. Anything outside of Augusta, really, but you didn't expect this from Rory. He was the favorite heading into the Open. Tomorrow, First News with Tommy Tucker. Give you a little preview. Don't often give you a preview of Tommy's show. Tommy and I, we almost never see each other because he's asleep when I'm on and I'm asleep when he's on in the morning. But tomorrow, 6 to 10 a.m., First News with Tommy Tucker. Louisiana is expected to have the most off-the-chart hot days in the country. And boy, can we attest to that or what over the last couple of days? Could all that heat end up changing our unique culture? Plus, President Trump doubles down on his tweets about the four Democratic congresswomen, and 59% of Americans thinks those comments were un-American. Tommy will talk about that tomorrow morning on First News with Tommy Tucker, right here on WWL. So Logan, a couple of breaks ago, he tells me, comes in my ear, he says, Seth, turn to channel 160. And I turned to channel 160, and what was on the tube there, Logan?
The movie Tommy Boy.
Yes, which anybody who's been following our show for quite a while, I was stunned and dismayed earlier this year when I learned that you, Logan, had never seen Tommy Boy. You have seen Tommy Boy, so this is like a rerun for you. You got to love it now, right?
Yeah, it's a great movie. I just so happened to be sitting here during one of your interviews, and I was trying to find something interesting to put the TV on in the background. And I wound up finding it on one of the stations here. So
yeah,
that was real fun. I thought you'd get a massive kick out of it, the fact that it was playing.
Yes.
Especially two of them back-to-back.
Yeah. Black Sheep, is that something you've seen yet?
No,
that's the other Tommy Boy flick. Yeah. I've turned you on to the Tommy Boy flick. That's the other Chris Farley flick, the other good one anyways. I think he was in Billy Madison, too. You ever seen Billy Madison?
Yes.
Yeah, he was a bus driver in Billy Madison. The angry, crazy bus driver. Okay, so the next project then is for you to watch Black Sheep and then tell me it's going to be like the exact same movie as Tommy Boy, basically, with a political theme instead of selling brake pads, I guess. All right. So that's your summer homework here,
okay,
Logan. All right. Here's a text from the 504. Getting pumped about Pelican season. Anthony Davis going to regret it. Yeah, that kind of echoes what an earlier texter to us said. Here's a text from the 504. I'd like to know who and where they're polling. I've never been polled once in 40 years, not once. Well, I've been a couple of times. I will say just thank yourself. You've never been polled. It's a tedious process that nobody wants to go through. Got one more hour of the show. We're going to talk LSU football again next hour. Mike Scarborough of TigerBait.com, publisher there. He will join us. We'll talk expectations. We'll talk Joe Burrow. And Cam Jordan was on Sports Talk. We will replay his conversation with Christian Garrick coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.